Morning, everybody. Welcome to the Reserve Bank and to our October official cash rate review. The Reserve Bank this morning is cutting the official cash rate by 100 basis points. That is, we're reducing the official cash rate from 7.5% to 6.5%. The main reasons for this are the ongoing degree of international financial market turbulence and the fact that we are now seeing some deterioration in international growth outlooks. Compared to our forecast in the September monetary policy statement, we do see New Zealand's economic activity now as being more constrained. We are seeing reduced demand for exports. We are seeing restrictions on credit in the economy, and we're already seeing more cautious consumers and businesses, and in some cases, we're seeing them start to curtail spending. But this isn't all bad news. It has been partly offset by some other factors. We're talking here about the fact that the New Zealand dollar has fallen, helping cushion some of these effects. We've seen a marked reduction, of course, in the oil price. And there's been a recent loosening in fiscal policy, which has assisted as well. The weaker growth prospects and the fall in the oil price now mean that we expect to see the consumer price index tracking back into its 1% to 3% target zone by the middle of next year. Nevertheless, we still remain concerned by some residual high domestic inflation pressures, talking in particular about residual labour cost pressures, and some other areas such as local authority rates, electricity prices, and even some remaining strong construction costs. Well, we're going to stay focused on that medium-term inflation outlook. If inflation falls as we now expect, then we will have room to cut the official cash rate further. However, the timing and extent of any further cuts is going to depend on some real evidence of a fall away in domestic cost pressures, and also, of course, on us tracking and seeing and having some understanding of how global financial markets are playing out. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're open to questions to assist. I've got Dr. John McDermott, our Chief Economist, and Tim Hampton, Head of our forecasting team. Any questions?
The outlook for exports and credit, obviously it's worse than it was for the pre-Fed. What does that mean against the backdrop of an election campaign?
Well, we wouldn't comment on any political consequences of any of this. I think there's a broad understanding of the fact that the world economy has moved and that we've seen that financial turbulence there now starting to come through into real economic forecasts around the world. And we're, of course, not immune from any of that. So some of that will feed through into export prices. Having said that, we're still receiving, by historical standards, reasonable export returns in many sectors, and in addition, the softer New Zealand dollar has meant that New Zealand exporters are getting the benefit of that.
Dr. Pollard, you say you expect credit to be less readily available. Apropos of that, can you update us on clear discussions to govern guarantee for banks' wholesale fund?
Well, on that, officials have are continuing to do work, and that'll be up to the minister to take any decisions and make any announcements around that.
Close to an announcement?
Officials are working on possible design issues.
How quickly would you expect banks to respond to mortgage interest rates?
To this cut? We'd expect to see some response. Of course, it's a little bit complicated at the minute because the cost of funds has pushed up significantly. In addition, over the last few weeks, we've seen some quite different responses by different banks to cuts that they thought might be in the pipeline. Some have already responded, some haven't. So I think it's a bit hard to generalise, but we'd certainly expect to see some impact of this coming through onto mortgage rates.
Would you expect
the school afterwards.
Just answered that one, Bernard. Quite complicated.
Dr. Pollard, can you tell us when you now expect New Zealand economy to come out of recession?
Yeah, well, you need to understand, Simon, that we don't, for the official cash rate, do a full forecast. We have done, though, is we've had a chance to look through at how our September picture might have changed. You'll recall, of course, a couple of weeks ago, a number of central banks cut rates significantly off the back, I think, of more concerns about financial markets. We declined to move at that stage. No doubt your grandmother told you about acting in haste and repenting at leisure. And we have had the chance, in contrast to some of them, to now go through and look at our forecasts. And we do get a picture of a softer story there, but it's not a historically poor economic story by any means. And, your original question was...
When I think the September forecast had you coming out of recession about mid or the end of this year, I think. And I'm just wondering, given that you've now seen a lower growth outlook.
Well, we wouldn't be too specific, but we do see a bit more softness, and we see a flattish economy for a while, but not necessarily a economy that continues in recession. I think it's more about speed of pickup out of that. It is a little bit hard to pick the New Zealand economy at the minute, in that we've gone through a slightly earlier cycle than some of, say, European or North American countries. And in addition, of course, we took the advantage to move earlier than many other central banks as well. We started cutting in July. Now, some of that effect's come through. In addition, we've had the advantage of the New Zealand dollar coming down and insulating some of those effects. In addition, there's been softer fiscal policy. Those things have all started to have some effect, but nevertheless, we do see a very slow pickup out of the current recessionary conditions.
Well, let's put it this way. Treasury, I think, forecasts that the economy would barely grow until the middle of next year, and their forecasts were done August or something like that. Would you say that those are now overly optimistic?
Oh, not necessarily. There's been a lot of other changes since then, such as the New Zealand dollar coming off more than they had, oil prices coming off a lot more than they had. So there's some cushioning features as well. But having said that, the world economy looks worse than when they had to cut off from their forecast.
The New Zealand dollar you mentioned a couple of times there, at what point does that start importing inflation?
Well, when it drops, it starts importing inflation. If you mean at what stage do we start getting worried about that, it's not, we don't think it's the driver that we have to worry about right at the moment.
Dr. Barr, in terms of credit availability, there's lots of anecdotal reports of commercial enterprises finding it difficult to get loans not being advanced when they previously had been agreed, and those sorts of things. Are you concerned about the lack of credit to New Zealand's corporates from the New Zealand foreign-owned banks, essentially?
Well, you'll see our picture on financial stability when we come out on November the 12th with our regular financial stability report. In the meantime, we do focus on the extent to which credit restriction might slow growth, and certainly because of higher rates and high international funding costs and fragility of international funding, we're already seeing an impact through onto business investment. So it is harder for businesses to borrow, and that does have an effect through on the real economy.
Is the credit lines which have previously been agreed are being withdrawn?
Well, there's plenty of stories around at a time like this. I think you'll generally find that where there may be some credit facilities that banks have had open under certain conditions to corporates, and those conditions haven't always been met. So I think it's a little bit more complicated than that.
Is there a view on whether or not the bank should be involved in directly in injecting any liquidity to New Zealand banks if necessary?
Sorry, can you
lending
clear what you're...
banks yourselves, the wholesale markets, the relative merits of guaranteeing wholesale deposits and actually making wholesale deposits. Lending to New Zealand banks from a reserve bank.
Sorry, I may be slow, but I don't understand your question.
Can the Reserve Bank provide liquidity directly to the New Zealand banks by lending them money to provide them with wholesale funds.
Yes.
Is there any reflection on whether or not you would be thinking of doing that?
We have been thinking of doing it, and we've announced that we've been, in fact, agreed to do it. And there are facilities with the Reserve Bank whereby the commercial banks can bundle up securities such as residential mortgage-backed securities, use them as security for loans from the Reserve Bank. There is a scope to do that, and that partly underpins our continuing confidence that the banks in New Zealand have plenty of access to liquidity.
In which case, do you have a view on whether or not that's a preferable method to go down as opposed to wholesale guarantees?
That all depends on the cost of wholesale guarantees, so we're not speculating about that at the moment.
$450 billion seems to be a very big risk for wholesale guarantees, which is what the number has been.
Yeah, as I say, we're not speculating on that at the moment. No, we just thought you might be interested. It is the biggest cut in the OCR since the banks run its current OCR-type system. And we've seen all sorts of speculation given the high degree of uncertainty out there at the minute. So we thought you might be interested in having a chance to question us on it. At the minute, one can see quite a lot of uncertainty leading to all sorts of different views around the market. I should say, actually, we've been surprised, I don't know, but pleased to see the responsibility with which the major media in New Zealand have come through this period. It has been a period when sometimes speculating can be quite unhelpful, even dangerous, and that hasn't generally happened. So we just want to make sure that you've got a chance to question us on all of this. And in particular, we wanted to be able to balance out our views on inflation, which, of course, you've just seen has been the highest in recent history in New Zealand, just as it has in Australia. So it is quite a difficult period to make monetary policy in.
Can you help us with the tea leaves on future OCR reductions? You made some comment about seeing some real evidence of inflation being brought under control. Is that a suggestion that maybe less haste than, say, an OCR reduction prior to Christmas or just after Christmas?
Yeah, well, we don't actually do tea leaves. It's quite a lot more sophisticated now. Yes, what we've done today is to front-load some reductions in the official cash rate. Had we not been operating in a period of such international financial market turmoil and international growth concern, we might have decided to go more slower on this. That would have been what we've done in previous contractionary periods. We, however, feel that there is the room to do that, but in terms of announcing this cut, one shouldn't necessarily expect or anticipate or build in future cuts of anything like this magnitude. We will want to see what happens after this. So we've taken quite a lot and done it now in order to help confidence and help get rates recalibrated down to where we feel they should be. But one shouldn't assume that we'll continue in such a radical fashion.
And could there be some form of continuation of OCR reductions?
Well, as we've said, the market expects to see further reduction, and we would think that's consistent with what we're seeing, provided we do see these inflationary pressures coming off. We've just got to remember, we are doing this from a point of very high historical inflation. Now, everybody expects those numbers to come off, but what we're looking at is any evidence that those get entrenched into parts of the system, e.g. the electricity system.
And that's why I led the haste thing, because it might take a little bit of time for that real evidence and that data to come out.
Absolutely. It will take till early next year to get a really clear picture on it.
Governor, why do you say that inflation pressures are so stubbornly high? Why do you think
because
they are.
Well,
why do you think they are so high?
Because we see that in some of the labour cost measures. We see it in some of the non-tradable sectors. I've mentioned electricity a couple of times. There are, of course, there will always be in an economy like New Zealand some sectors that do not have to respond very quickly to competitive pressures. We'll be watching those.
Obviously, the electricity sector is government control, then that could be simply a matter of government policy to reduce electricity prices.
Well, no, some of it's private, some of it's government-owned. The government-owned is done through the State-Owned Enterprises Act, where they will operate commercially.
Well, yes, but they can be given directions by the State-Owned Enterprises Minister and by Treasury if necessary.
Well, that's for other parts of government, not for us.
In relation to the bank deposits scheme, the detail of which was announced yesterday, do you have any view on the final shape of the scheme?
Well, that is the final shape of the retail deposit scheme.
And are you happy with that? I mean, that's obviously something that you've been...
We announced it yesterday. We think that's an appropriate way forward.
How many depositors have got more than $1 million, do we know?
A very small number.
How many depositors have more than $500,000?
I'm sorry, I can't answer that sort of question.
Are those figures available?
Are those figures available? Well, you can go and talk to Ask a Bank for those.
Ask a Bank?
Banks are the people who hold deposits.
I know. We have asked the Reserve Bank in the past about whether or not this...
We've got a broad view of that, not a complete view.
Just to get it on the record, Dr. Collins, we've made a record cut on the OCR. There's an election coming up in just over 2 weeks. Are they connected in any way?
Well, no, of course not. As normal, we continue to carry out monetary policy in a completely apolitical, neutral way.
If Mr. Key and the National Party win the election, are you quite happy to work with them?
The Reserve Bank, of course, continues to operate completely apolitically, completely neutrally, and we carry out monetary policy and our other functions as specified under the Reserve Bank.
Prior to the campaign launches, in that case, then when you briefed Phil English and John Key, did you then avail them of what the government was thinking of in terms of the guarantee deposit scheme?
Together with the Secretary of Treasury, I've briefed senior opposition members and of a number of parties with the knowledge of the Minister of Finance about the issues that are around at the minute. The issues that are around at the minute are clearly the banking issues and the broad macroeconomy. And so they understand our views on that, and I think that's been quite appropriate. We've done that jointly with Treasury.
So it'd be fair to say that before the campaign launches, John Key and Bill English would have known about the guarantee deposits?
No, that's not what I said.
Would that be fair if you would...
I don't know. You'll need to ask them. We didn't brief them before the launches.
Even though you've been talking to the government about it?
Certainly, we... designed a scheme for the government during the week before that.
Well, why didn't, in that case, then you brief the National Party as well?
It's not our role if we're doing something not under the Reserve Bank Act. This is the power of the ministers under the Public Finance Act to go out briefing without the minister's knowledge or agreement.
Doesn't that sort of bring you into the political equation then, to some extent?
No, it keeps us out of it.
Well, surely if you're advising the government on a move as crucial as that, then isn't it incumbent on you to also brief the opposition party that could be the government?
We can express our views to the minister about that, but it is his call to do that. That's appropriate constitutional precedent, and of course that's what we will follow.
So did you maybe say to the minister that perhaps it would have been a good idea to brief the National Party?
You can access, under the Official Information Act, the papers, the advisory papers, and get answers from that.
Can you answer that?
You need to go through a process of accessing those papers.
All government official information is official information. If it's available under the Act later than it's available now.
Subject to the conditions in the Official Information Act, and that's why that process exists, to test those.
Have there been a clear clarification of how you're going to operate in the week after the election, assuming that there's a change of government? Are you going to immediately brief and take instructions from John Key?
This is all laid out very clearly and hasn't changed. It's laid out under direction from the State Services Commission and the Cabinet Office. We have a normal government at the moment. After the election, there is a caretaker government. That's the convention. It hasn't changed. The process for briefing other parties, possibly incoming governments, after the election is very clearly laid out, and you can go to them for
that. I'm just wondering if you can explain what it is, given that this is obviously a very unusual circumstance.
Requests for briefing can be met if they're coordinated through a central agency channel, and sometimes they require the agreement of the caretaker Prime Minister.
So how long is the caretaker government until this government formation, presumably?
We're talking about the period from the election, from election day to formation of government.
Governor,
can I go back to Simon?
You said you weren't too worried at the moment about the extreme fall of the New Zealand dollar. At what point does that become a concern?
Yeah, look, we don't have any particular trigger numbers in there. We wouldn't want to see the New Zealand dollar dropping hugely at a fast speed, but we also see no sign that's happening. The New Zealand dollar has actually been very well behaved over the last couple of months, and we've had an easier ride of it than perhaps the Australians, for example. But we know these are very unusual international circumstances, and so you can't really predict what might happen.
There was a time, I think, after the Asian financial crisis where markets suddenly became very concerned about low growth and high interest rate regime, and the New Zealand dollar was off below 40 cents, I think. Do you think there's a concern that sort of scenario could be replayed?
The New Zealand dollar has been held reasonably by commodity prices that actually haven't fallen out of bed. We'd expect in the medium term the New Zealand dollar to reflect basic fundamentals. Short term, it can be subject to international instability, but we're not actually expecting that at the minute. We're not actually seeing it at the minute.
Is New Zealand
about the current account deficit? Is that, you could have a switch to focus on New Zealand's very high current account deficit.
Well, you could. Although where the New Zealand dollar is at the minute, it looks like it's assisting reduction in the current account deficit. Were it to fall further, that we'd expect to see that speed up even more. We're not currently hearing concerns about it.
What signs are you seeing in the wholesale markets that things are falling after the freeze in the last couple
of years? We're seeing some initial signs of some market opening up a little bit, but it's too early to draw any conclusions from that, and we haven't necessarily seen the bottom of these markets. We just have to wait and watch that.
Some people have said we've got until Christmas before the issue of rolling over that short-term foreign funding becomes an issue. What's your view on this?
That's my view. We don't believe we have a short-term problem around bank liquidity. That's not to say that bank liquidity doesn't get very expensive for banks, but in terms of availability, we think we can make it available if necessary.
And
we'll leave it to banks to make their own announcements around that. The facility is in place and open for business.
So you said advances have been made on already?
I just said we'll leave it to banks to make any announcements they wish to about that.
That's very difficult for us to do, with all due respect, to ask all the banks whether or not, and they may just say that they don't want to answer that question.
We'll give you some phone numbers afterwards if you want to. We can assist you on that.
Dr. Bond, do you see any information risk in the board?
Well, we have the position that fiscal policy and fiscal policy looseness has on these numbers is actually causing us less concern from a monetary policy point of view now. You'd still need to ask Treasury about their broader views on impact on macro variables and impact on debt. That becomes more of an issue. But from a monetary policy point of view, because we are talking about systemic softness in this economy, that is less of an issue, and it hasn't been something that we've had to weigh up tightly as we might have a year ago. In reaching these sort of decisions.
Now, we're talking recession, not depression in New Zealand. I think that was the general theme of what you were describing about in terms of our recovery expectations.
This is nothing like the 1930s depression, if that's what you're talking about.
People are talking about that in terms of a lot of our trading partner economies.
Well, not the people I'm talking to. They're actually saying a very nasty financial event, international financial event, a very nasty one. But so far, not a hugely nasty economic event. at the minute, what we're looking at internationally looks much more like things that we've had in the East Asia crisis, the tech wreck and the 1990-91 recessions. It doesn't look like anything like the 1930s.
Okay, so global, we're not expecting, as our growth rate expected to exceed that of our trading partners expected to exceed our trading partners over the next 2 years?
No, it's our luck that our trading partners will continue to pull up our growth rate by having higher growth rates. We're talking, of course, about Asia and countries that will continue to grow stronger than New Zealand.
What about the States and the UK?
Do you want to...
Over 2009, we're looking at the US and UK having pretty weak growth rates, and at this stage they're looking weaker than what our forecasts are.
Does that have fundamentally, I mean, you're talking about the fundamentals driving exchange rate, does that mean that there's fundamentally strong drivers behind the New Zealand dollar?
No, I mean, the New Zealand dollar fundamentally will depend on our terms of trade, and we're seeing some reduction in our export prices, but still not bad by historical standards. We've, of course, seen a big reduction in our import prices, mainly oil and some other items, and it's pretty important that those feed through the economy in the way we'd expect. We can only say the markets will consider the overall effect on the exchange rate.
What sort of actual evidence would you like to see of easing domestic inflation pressures, which you talked about in the statement? What sort of things are we going to show?
The focus is on non-tradable inflation. And traditionally, in a downturn, things like construction costs start to fall rapidly. And so those would be the very early signs, particularly in a housing market that is deteriorating.
What about local government
Yeah, we think that we're encouraged to hear local authorities talk about the need for restraint. On the other hand, after what they've been through over the last 10 years, trying to get cost increases down to the rate of inflation doesn't necessarily strike us as the sort of restraint that most people in the private sector will have to do. So there could be some recalibrating and readjustment of views to be had there.
Dr. Pollard, Kiwi Bank has responded more aggressively in terms of lowering rates than the foreign-owned Australian banks. Is there a view on whether or not it would be useful if Kiwi Bank moved more aggressively into the business lending?
No, we wouldn't have. Are there any more questions? Well, thank you very much, everybody. Thanks for coming. This media conference is over.